the Lord. Are you glad to be in church here today? Oh, we'll get you stirred up. I'll tell you what. Like Pastor Brad mentioned, you know, you're here in the house of the Lord. You know, there's so many temptations with all this good weather that we've been having to do something else, you know, to go to events and all these things. But you're in the house of the Lord, amen? And it's good. Let's just keep filling the house of God. Let's put him first, amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to see everybody. For those of you that are visiting, as I look around, I might just see maybe one or two new faces with us. My name is Pastor Tim Stallman. We just welcome you to Family Church. God's got a plan for your life, and we want to get you connected to that plan. Amen? Because it's good. It doesn't mean that everything in life always feels great. Challenges come. But we know this. This Bible teaches us how to pass the test. Pass the test. Amen? Have victory through the test. You know what? Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, he said, in this world, you're going to have tests and tribulations. He said, but be of good cheer. He's already overcome it for us. Amen. We don't have to go through this life sad, busted down, desperate, hating life. Amen. No matter what we're facing, we can love God. We can declare our victory over these things. Amen. Get a hold of the word. And when you get a hold of the word, you get a hold of joy. Amen. So again, we just welcome those that are with us here today, also joining us by live stream. And church, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting guests feel warm and welcome? That's our job. Let's welcome those that are visiting here today. Amen. So good to see you. And at Family Church, we desire one thing first and foremost, and that's the Word of God. Are you ready for the Word here today? Amen. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And today I'm going to call this message, There's a Fire Burning in Your Spirit. There's a fire burning in your spirit. I'm not talking about the power or the fire of the Holy Spirit in general. I'm talking about the power and the fire of God within each and every one of us. Amen. You know, so many times we Christians, we just stand back and we just wait and hope that the fire of the Spirit, or the power of the Spirit of God will just come down and just fix everything and fall upon us out of nowhere and just make everything okay and do all the work for us. Folks, but that's not how the power of the Holy Spirit works. The power of the Spirit does not work independently from you and me. The power of the Spirit is going to burn bright inside believers, and believers are going to carry out the plan of God on this earth. We cannot just stand back and hope that the power falls from heaven. Folks, we've got to burn bright. Amen. We've got to be spiritual people. Folks, we know that this generation needs to see the sons and daughters of God like God has always intended. We cannot let our light grow dim. We cannot let that fire burn out. Amen. We have got to get a hold of the power of God that is within you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And of course, it's all based in, and it first starts with the power of the Holy Spirit. But that power is going to work within us. So let's not just ask what the power of God is doing out there. Let's ask what the power of God is doing within you. What are you going to do with that power? What are you going to do with that fire? Amen. And today we're going to talk about the spirit of man. So many times everyone's just, you know, relying on the Holy Spirit to do something apart from them. No, the Holy Spirit's going to work with your spirit to get the plans of God done. Have you found 1 Corinthians chapter 6? And let's go to verse 19. Last week, we were led by the Spirit to talk about the sacredness of the human body. That was not originally going to be my message. That was not what I had planned, but we were led to go in a different direction. And I wondered this week, I thought, Lord, you know, will I preach the message this week that I was supposed to preach last week? Nope. Though it is going to be somewhat similar, but I started from scratch because the Lord led me that way. And so we're going to talk about the significance of your spirit. your spirit, the human spirit. Folks, this is one of the most neglected aspects of all Christianity that believers don't realize that they are a spirit being first. That means you and I, we are eternal beings. Do you know that? You were made in the image and the likeness of God. Just like God is eternal, you now are eternal moving forward, right? God always existed. Obviously, we are created beings. We know that. But from the point of our, you know, God made us, we are going to exist forever. It's just a matter of how and where. And we need to know how God uses our human spirit. We have to be a generation that is spirit conscious, not just, you know, mentally conscious, not just always, you know, the temptations in our flesh and all this stuff. Our society is bombarding our flesh and our minds with temptation. It's constantly feeding and growing our minds and our bodies, but our spirit is going neglected. Our spirit can be weak if we're not careful. We cannot let that happen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. And again, we love how the Holy Ghost asks this question in this verse. What? What? Meaning, what, you know, why don't you get this? You should know this. He says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, who is where? In you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. And we saw last week that the first and most reasonable act of intelligent worship is to make sure that we crucify our flesh, that we control our bodies. You know, we took a look at many verses. I'll tell you what, that sermon last week, it really ticked off a few folks. And so if you missed it, go back to our archives, get a hold of it, so you can be mad at me just like everybody else. You don't want to miss, you don't want to be left out of the group. Praise the Lord. And we talked about how sacred it is. Who's going to tell this generation that they can't drink alcohol? Who's going to tell this generation that God's not pleased when we, you know, partake in booze or we partake in things that would intoxicate us? You know, just because our governments have made, you know, certain drugs legal, that doesn't mean God has made them legal. Who is going to raise up in this generation to know God, to know what pleases him, to know that your body is sacred? Stop desecrating it. Stop marking it up. Stop filling it with holes, you know what I mean? Stop piercing it up and looking like the world. Folks, if we're not careful, the body of Christ in America today is getting far too worldly. This generation doesn't even know what they're supposed to do with their bodies for God. And so we talked about it last week. Your body is the temple. It is the meeting place of God. Just like that Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament contained the presence of God, your body is supposed to be holy for the presence of God in the New Testament. We are purchased with a price. We don't belong to ourselves. Amen. We don't allow our own minds to decide what we do with our bodies. God has already told us in his word what to do with our body. I'll tell you what, when I preach that message, every time I preach about alcohol, it stirs up people. It stirs up. You know why? Because they feel like they can't live without it. That's why the Bible says there's a new wine. There's a new wine. It's called the presence of God. And when you get full of the new wine, you won't need the old stuff anymore. That's how I got free from alcohol in the past, because I got something new, came in and replaced it. The reason why I was living on it, because I felt like I needed it. It was a crutch. You don't need that crutch. Any crutch, it's not just alcohol. Any crutch in your life, God's going to kick it out, because he needs you relying on him. Amen. But verse 20 is what we're trying to get to here today. Don't, you know, get all worked up. I mean, it's amazing the offense that people have when you say, God doesn't want you to drink alcohol. Boy, people get upset. It gets quiet amongst Christians. See, I mean, not that long ago, that was just common sense in Christianity. No one thought twice, you know? But now in our generation, all of a sudden, we want, you know, God and everything else too. Well, I'm here to tell you, God doesn't take everything else too. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And we talked about that last week. But notice the verse doesn't stop there. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So notice we are supposed to glorify God in our body and glorify God in our spirit. This is not talking about the Holy Spirit. This is talking about your spirit. God is not going to tend to your spirit like you are supposed to tend to your spirit. You are the one that is supposed to guard it and to tend to it and to nourish it. But here we see in this scripture that we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. I believe there's plenty of Christians that have learned to take moral control over their bodies. You know, a lot of times people get saved and they realize that they have common sense and, you know, they realize, you know what, I'm not supposed to drink anymore, so they don't. Or they'll take moral control of their body and they'll say, you know what, I'm not supposed to, you know, look at certain forms of entertainment anymore, and they don't. You know, Christians will take moral control of their bodies and say, you know what, I realize I'm not supposed to use profane language anymore. I'm not supposed to use four-letter language anymore. And so they don't use that anymore, and they take moral control of their body. But that's as far as many Christians take it. Folks, how many of you know Christianity is not just moral control over your body? Christianity is the pursuit of the presence of God within our spirit. Christianity is a relationship between God and man where God, the creator of the universe, lives in our spirit. Christianity is God living in man once again. How many of you are born again here today? Where does God live right now? In you. In you. And that's why, and we're not going to take the time, but if you look up there in your Bible, up at 1 Corinthians 6:15, it says, our bodies are the members of Christ. Therefore, we do not take our bodies and join them to a harlot. Literally, that scripture says, or to join our bodies to unholy things, right? But now we have to know and understand, it's not just about moral control in our bodies. It might start there. But folks, we gotta go further and we gotta learn how to glorify God in our spirit. I believe a lot of Christians, they understand the concept of glorifying God in their body, but many do not know how to glorify God in their spirit. Today, I'm gonna give you several scriptures to teach you about your spirit and how you're gonna glorify God in your spirit. Things that you have to know that your spirit is capable of, and hopefully you'll be motivated to do what the Bible says, and that is to nourish and guard your spirit, amen, and to feed your spirit, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We know this, that when we're born again, our spirit is the part of us that communicates with God. We know that we are a three-part being, the Bible says. The Bible says that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Folks, please know and understand that the soul and the spirit of man are not the same thing. A lot of Christians get that confused, all right? It's real simple. We know what the body is, right? The body is the part of you that contacts the physical world. It's your five senses. And we know that it includes your body, the things that you see, the things that you hear, the things that you touch, and so on. The body's very easy for us to understand. Unfortunately, it's a little too easy for us to understand, right? We're so familiar with our flesh that a lot of times we let the flesh dominate our lives. We shouldn't do that. The soul, the word soul, it means your mind, your intellect, your will, and your emotions. Your soul is the part of you that contacts the emotional realm. Have you ever gotten so emotional, baby, right? Well, if you ever have had sadness, if you've ever, never mind. Praise the Lord. I got to wake you up somehow, right? But if you've ever felt sadness or sorrow, or when depression attacks your life, depression attacks the soul of man. Sorrow is felt within the soul of man. Also, gladness can be felt in the soul of man. Positive emotions can be, you know, contacted in the soulish realm. And so we know and understand that. But your spirit is the part of you that communicates with God. And even better yet, your spirit is the part that God talks to and puts his voice in your spirit. Many times, the voice of your own spirit is your conscience, something on the inside that tells you what to do or what not to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now go with me in your Bibles. Go back to Proverbs chapter 20. And so many times we just kind of pass over this verse or we just make mention of it. Of course, I could quote it, but let's turn over there. Go to Proverbs chapter 20 and let's go to verse 27. And I'm gonna start giving you some significant facts about your spirit and why it matters to you and I. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's learn to glorify God where? In our bodies and in our spirit, which both belong to God. I'm glad to be purchased of him. How about you? Yeah. All right, let's get a hold of this here today. Go to Proverbs 20 in verse 27. The Bible makes this very interesting statement about the spirit of man. And folks, when I say the spirit of man, that just means the spirit of a human being or mankind. It says this, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. If you're wondering where your spirit is, it is located right here in the center of your being. It is not your brain that is in your skull. It is not your flesh and the rest of that. Your spirit is right here in the center of your being. A lot of times, people even in the world, they will say things like, you know, I just had a gut feeling about that. Do you know that's actually an accurate statement? Because it is. It's in the belly of man or in the center of man. And before we start teaching on this, I think it's very interesting that it says that the Lord is searching all the inward parts of our belly. Or literally, he's searching our spirit. What is the Lord searching for? He is searching for communion with him. He is searching for someone that will fellowship with him in the spirit of man. God is searching for good motives and your intentions of putting him first. He's searching somebody in their spirit. Will they truly obey me? Will they truly follow me? Do they have the intentions of putting me first? The Lord is searching our spirit to see if he can find his word there. He's searching our spirit to see if he can find his presence there. Amen. He's searching our spirit so he can put his voice there. Come on, folks. The Lord is searching our spirit every single day. We should be searching with him. You know what I mean? We should be looking into our spirit every single day. Folks, our generation has gotten so flesh-minded, so heavily dependent upon the soul of man that we're not thinking with our spirit. We're not filling our spirit with God. Come on. Notice it says the spirit of man is what? The candle of the Lord. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you what this means. Literally, in those days, they obviously didn't have electricity. And so when it says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, it means literally that your spirit is light or the light of God. All right, like we would say lamp or a light. And that light can shine bright, that light can shine dimly, or maybe that light's not shining at all. Maybe that light once was shining bright, but maybe that light has gone out. Maybe that light has gotten dim, you know? But notice this. Notice it says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What is the most significant aspect of a candle? The flame, right? The flame. When it says that the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, God has got a flame or a fire that he wants to put in the human spirit. Yeah, amen. The Bible says over there in Hebrews 12, 29, remember this? For our God is a consuming fire. Yes. Amen. God wants to fill your spirit with the fire of God. Amen. You know, that candle, that fire, it can burn bright. That fire could be burning dimly, or that fire could be put out. And we've all got to ask ourselves that sobering question. How bright is the fire of God burning in your spirit? Because if we're not careful, the things of the world will make your spirit dim. This is why I'm not afraid to preach against alcohol addictions and the rest. Why? Because those things will just make your spirit dim. You know, people that are addicted to social media, you know, and listen, there's nothing wrong with sharing pictures with friends and things like that, but people just spend hours and hours and hours and hours upon it. What's going to happen? It's going to make your spirit dim, right? You know, what happens when we neglect our prayer life? Our spirit will grow dim. What happens when we start sinning and we break fellowship with God? That light in our spirit starts to grow dim. And if we let it go too long, that light can go out. All right, that fire can burn out. I'm here to tell you, folks, if we're not careful, we're watching the body of Christ in our nation lose its fire. Are you here today? Why? Because they neglect their own spirit. They neglect their own spirit. Oh, see, that candle or that fire in the spirit of man, it represents a passion that we have for God. How passionate are you for the things of the Lord? That fire represents desire. That fire represents obedience. That fire represents submission and yielding to God. That fire represents a willingness to do whatever God says to do. That fire represents a high standard that is going to control our lives. Folks, when the fire of God is burning bright on the inside of you, there's just certain things that are no longer options anymore. You know, I get asked, you know, from time to time, you know, people will hear my testimony. They say, Pastor, how did you get free, you know, of alcohol in the days, you know, when you got saved and then, you know, you had to get and deal with that addiction in your life? You know what? And when I say this, I'm not trying to criticize anybody or anything, but you know what? I didn't go to a 12-point program. You know what I did? I sat in my local church. I heard the word from my pastor. I studied the word of God. The fire of God started to burn brightly until it consumed those addictions, those bad habits. Folks, this is what the world needs to see, that when you get your spirit full of God and full of the fire of God, it'll consume all depression. It'll consume all sadness. It'll consume fear. It'll consume addictions. Listen, I'm telling you, there's a program out there that no doubt could help people and you know, help them a little bit. It might get them free for a little while, but without the fire of God, you're not going to stay free. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And so we got to understand, we got to ask ourselves, how bright is that fire burning within us? Folks, we can all be honest. Do we have any honest people here? Can you remember times, if you've lived any time with the Lord, you've seen where your fire has burned brighter at times than other times and dimmer at times than other times? Anyone who ever seen that before? All right, we've got an honest congregation here. So we can be sober. And you just raised your hand, as did I, because we all can sense when we've allowed that fire to get dim. And if that's you here today, it's time to stir up the coals. The spirit of man, God is searching the inward parts. He's got answers for you right there in your belly. He's got help for you. He's got leadings. He's got his voice. He's going to tell you what he's got for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you several scriptures here today that's going to show you the significance of what's going on in your born again spirit. Amen. You can see when the fire is burning bright in somebody's life. They love to praise. When that spirit is burning, when that fire of God is burning bright in their spirit, they will long to pray. They will long to study the Bible. They don't look at church and be like, oh boy, gotta go to church. And of course, you broke the mold here today. You have a full church on your hands and all this and that. But there's somebody somewhere that woke up and looked at the nice weather and said, you know what? I think today I'd rather just go play golf instead of going to church. I'd rather just go boating or have a picnic today than be in church. But when that fire is burning bright within you, you can't wait to fellowship. You can't wait to glorify God in the house of the Lord. Amen. People can tell they're going to be attracted to what you have when that fire is burning bright. People at your work, people in your family. Parents ask me all the time, Pastor, what do I do for my child? Because they're starting to go wayward, they're getting older, or they're starting to, you know, they're a grown adult and they're starting to get away from the things of God. The number one thing that you do for a parent is that you live on fire. You live for God. You put the things of God first, and then you tell your child that you're putting the things of God first. Show them. Are you here today? I'm excited about it. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about it. See, we got to get, see, when you're on fire for God, you'll be more concerned about the realm of God than you are the natural realm. When that fire is burning bright, natural things just won't satisfy you anymore. Natural things won't fulfill you anymore. Amen. Only the things of God will fulfill you. And folks, I got to be honest with you. You're going to learn that lesson many times throughout this life with God. You're going to learn that lesson because we'll get on fire for God and we'll pursue him, and then things start to wane off, and then we got to stir ourselves up again. How many times do we got to learn the lesson that only spiritual things are ultimately going to fulfill us? Doesn't mean you can't have nice things. Doesn't mean that you can't richly enjoy things. But I'm telling you, first things first. Amen? All right, now today I'm going to give you four things you need to know about your spirit if you're going to glorify God in your spirit. Are you ready? Turn with me to the New Testament. Go to James chapter 2. Are you ready to be taught something here today? Okay, maybe half of you. Are you ready to be taught something here today? Someone thought in their mind, no, I'm just here waiting and biding my time. I'm in a rush to get out there to the good weather. Folks, the measure you meet the word is the power that's going to be measured back to you. Go to James chapter 2 and go to verse 26. Do you have a high standard for God? Yeah, that fire burned bright within you. It'll give you a high standard for him. You'll be more desirous about spiritual things and natural things. You'll long to pray and to study. You'll give your attention to eternal things. Yeah. You won't let this world actively dim that fire that's on the inside. Amen. I'll tell you what, this is the reason why the Great Commission is a supernatural Great Commission. Amen. This is why the Great Commission is supernatural. You know, Jesus told us over there in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he said this, he said, preach the gospel to every living creature, right? And then he says, and those that believe shall be saved. Those that believe not shall be damned. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. And if they drink any deadly thing, nothing shall harm them. And in my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. And then it goes down and it concludes that passage. And it said, the apostles went and the disciples went, preaching everywhere. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Notice Jesus didn't say, hey, go out and set up programs. He didn't say, hey, go out and set up committees. He didn't say, hey, go out there and set up concerts. No. Not that somebody couldn't be saved at a concert. Don't misunderstand me. You know, he didn't say, you know, oh, go out there and set up sports programs. He didn't say, go out there and start social activities and singles groups. He said, go and preach the gospel. He said, go out and cast demons out of people. He said, you will speak with new tongues. Anything deadly is going to be, will not harm you. And he says, and in my name, you'll lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Why is the gospel, according to the Bible, why is it a supernatural gospel? Because it relies upon the fire burning bright in God's people. Amen. If God's people are not on fire for God, they're not going to cast out any demons. If that fire is not burning bright, then they're not going to lay hands on the sick and the sick won't recover. You know, if that fire is not burning bright, they're not going to speak with new tongues. Do you see how it's a supernatural gospel? See, and this world is leaning upon the arms of the flesh. We're trying to get everything done through committees, programs, methods of man. And I'm here to tell you, it's not working and it's not going to work. What's going to change this city, what's going to change the world is a demonstration of God's mercy through his power when people start getting supernaturally saved, supernaturally delivered, supernaturally healed. Amen. You cannot remove the supernatural element out of the gospel. Where does it all start? In your spirit and in mine. Amen. Say, Pastor, you know, you just seem to be against certain things. No, it's not that I'm trying to judge something or I'm just going by what the word says. The word makes it clear how we're going to win this world. It's going to take God's mercy and power working through the believer. You know, when's the last time you led someone to Jesus Christ? When's the last time you laid hands on the sick? When's the last time that you cast out a devil? When's the last time you spoke in a new tongue? Well, it gets quiet all of a sudden and say, well, Pastor, a lot of believers, maybe even sitting here today, are saying, no, haven't for a while, haven't. Well, what's going on then? What's going on? The fire's dim. The fire's dim. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm making everybody mad again. James 2:26. Are you ready for the first thing you need to know about your spirit? We're going to start simple, and then we're going to go up from there about the things you need to know about your own spirit. Look at James 2:26. It's a supernatural gospel. Some of you are already at the picnic right now. Some of you are already in the sunshine out there. Hook up with the word. Verse 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is what? Dead. Even so, faith without works is dead also. So the Bible is using one truth to teach a second truth. Now, ultimately, he's trying to teach us that faith without works is dead. Folks, meaning, you know, if you truly believe in Jesus Christ, your life will reflect it through your actions. All right. And we've all seen and known people. I used to be one of these people that would say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but I had no works. I had no works. You know, works don't save us. They're not the root of our salvation, but works are the fruit of our salvation. Amen. But he tells us this. He says, the body without the spirit is what? Dead. Here's the first thing you need to know about the human spirit. Without the human spirit, the human body dies. Wow. That is what death is. Death is when the spirit of man leaves the body of man. All right. Aren't you glad that your spirit and your body are still friends today? Yeah, right? Yes. Amen. So now we see the relationship between our spirit and our body. Folks, this explains why scientists can't make a human being. They can replicate all the proteins. They can clone body parts. You know that, right? You know, they can try to play Dr. Frankenstein and put all the body parts together, but no matter how much they try, they can't make a human being. Why? Because mankind is without the ability to create the human spirit. Only God can put the spirit of man inside man. All right, that's why we are a unique creation. All right, do you see that? And so we gotta, you know, just think of it that way. All right, so number one, our body only has life because the spirit of man is within it. So now we're going to start to get some truth out of this verse. Notice this. So this must mean that your spirit feeds your human body. Literally, whatever's in your spirit is keeping your body alive. All right? We see this. That literally your spirit will feed or channel life, vitality, energy, strength, health. All of that is being channeled to your body from your spirit. So, how many of you want vitality in your life? Vitality means the life of God, right? You know, you want the health of God. You want the energy of God. Amen? Well, that starts with your spirit, and that gets channeled to your body from your spirit. But what if your spirit is weak? What if your spirit is vexed? What if your spirit has, you know, what if it's very dim? Or what if there's no light in your spirit? Then your body may suffer. Oh, boy. Absolutely. Your body will either take strength, your spirit will either feed strength to your body, or it'll take strength from your body. Whatever happens in your spirit, your body will follow suit. Folks, do you see the relationship? Yes, all physical strength is spiritual in its cause. We get physical strength from what is in our spirit. Thank God for exercise. I need to do some more of it. Thank God for good nutrition. You know, but how many of you know you can work out every day, you can have perfect nutrition in your body, but you could still be overwhelmed in life? Because life is not just taxing your body. Life is trying to make withdrawals on your spirit. It takes spiritual strength to raise kids. It takes spiritual strength to have a successful marriage. It takes spiritual strength to run a business or have a job. And so this world is constantly making withdrawals upon us spiritually. But what if you haven't made any deposits there? See, that's what crisis is. Crisis is when your spirit is overdrawn. Life is overdrawing believers. You know when you're overdrawn in your bank account? That means you've got negative money. I've held dollar bills, but I've never held a negative dollar bill. You know, when people get overdrawn spiritually, that's when crisis occurs. That's when you're going to be overwhelmed in life. All life, energy, vitality, and strength comes from your spirit to your body. Folks, this is why so many Christians, no matter how many vacations they take, they never feel refreshed. No matter how many days off they get, they never feel refreshed. Listen, thank God for vacations. Take one, all right? However, no matter all these things we think are going to refresh us, the only thing that truly refreshes us is the presence of God. Is the presence of God. Are you here today? Your body will follow whatever is in your spirit. Many times as your spirit goes, your body goes. See, can you bring up real quickly? Wasn't planning on going here. Bring up Proverbs 4:23. Bring up Proverbs 4:23. Is there anybody here today that has issues? Anybody here that has some issues? I know there's no takers. The Bible says, keep your heart. The word heart is synonymous with the word spirit. And the word keep, it means to guard. So you could say it this way, guard your spirit with all diligence. Why? Because God's not going to guard it for you. God's not going to nourish your spirit for you. That is your responsibility. Guard your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of your spirit is what? All the issues of life. How many believe that marriage can be an issue? Sometimes more, sometimes less. How many of you believe kids can be an issue at times? Woo, praise the Lord. Some of you are twisting my meaning a little bit, but you understand what I'm saying. How many of you know finances is an issue you face every day? All of the issues of life are where? Coming out of your spirit. So notice you've got to guard it. You've got to protect it. See, you protect only that which you value. You're protecting something because you value it. Are you here today? Praise the Lord. You value your spirit. You know, hopefully that's partially why you're in church here today. You value your spirit. You know why you fellowship with God? Because you value your spirit. You protect it. You guard it. It's out of the issues of life. You know, so many times, you know, Christians are trying to have a successful marriage on an empty spirit. You can't do it. They're trying to have a successful business on an empty spirit. You can't do it. They're trying to raise successful kids on an empty spirit. You cannot do it. They're trying to get healed on an empty spirit. You cannot do it. They're trying to have peace and joy on an empty spirit, and you cannot do it. You cannot live this life on an empty spirit. See, this is why our world is a mess, because the majority of human beings on this rock we call Earth are living empty. They're empty. They're not guarding their heart with all diligence. And the issues of life are overwhelming them. Listen, don't let those issues win. Those issues don't have to win. You don't have to be desperate. Listen, when you're filled and you're burning bright with God, I'm telling you, you're going to win in those issues. It won't prevent all issues from coming your way, but you're going to win. Glory to God. Let your fire burn bright. Your body can do nothing apart from your spirit. Are you getting a hold of this? Whatever happens in your spirit is going to be relayed in your body. Go to Proverbs chapter 18, and I'll give you the second thing here today you got to know. Get anything out of this here today? Are you guarding your spirit? How do you guard your spirit? How do you glorify God in your spirit? Take care of it. It glorifies God when you value your spirit. It glorifies God when you feed your spirit with the Word of God. It glorifies God when you fellowship with Him in your spirit. All right? You can show up to church every Sunday. You can be a good moral Christian and never learn to glorify God in your spirit. Just because you're a moral Christian does not mean you're a spiritual Christian. There's a difference between morality and truly being spiritual. If Christianity was just morality, there's a lot of things that produce morality. I mean, let's face it. I'm going to say something that is going to absolutely shock you. In some ways, Buddhists are far more moral than Christians, especially in America. Actually, many ways, if not most ways. You know, boy, this is really going to hurt to hear. In some ways, Muslims are far more moral than Christians. All right? Even though, you know, we serve Jesus Christ, we serve the one true living God, you know, but yet how is it that some of these false religions are more moral than Christians? You know, some of them are. But if morality was the only purpose of God, now we should be moral. Faith is always moral. However, our faith doesn't stop at morality. Our faith goes on to knowing God and communing with Him in our spirit. Amen. Guard your heart. Where did I tell you? Proverbs 18 and verse 14. Here's the second thing you need to know about your spirit. Praise the Lord. It says this, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity or his pain or his illness in his body. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? The spirit of a man will sustain him. The word sustain there, it means to nourish, grow, and to give his body strength. Can you bring this verse up in the Amplified Bible? Watch this in the Amplified. Watch this. I love this. Here it comes. The Amplified is chugging towards us. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or any trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up and bear? Notice your spirit can be strong, but also notice that your spirit can be weak. And that is what we have to soberly ask ourselves. Are we spiritually strong or are we weak? Or is that light in us dim? Come on. The Bible says the strong spirit of a man will sustain. I love that word sustain there. It means to feed, to make provision and sustenance. To feed, to make provision and sustenance. See, this is, you remember when Jesus made some odd statements in the New Testament? Remember when Jesus, he said, remember when they asked him if he was hungry in John chapter 4? And they said, well, we got to go into town and buy lots of food. Remember that? He says, I have food that you know not of. He said, I got food, something's feeding me that you can't see. What he's saying, he's like, I've been fellowshipping with my Father. The fellowship with God is strengthening my body. Hallelujah. Remember when he said stuff like that? Remember when Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the Father. What was, and they were all like, what? They were like, wait, what? Did he go and sneak off and get something to eat? Remember how they said that? I believe it was, wasn't it in John chapter 4 in that neighborhood? Remember they said, hey, we're hungry. You know, we got to go into town. And Jesus said, I have food that you can't see. And they're like, wait, what? Did he sneak in? Did he go by? Did he stop over at the 7-Eleven? You know, did he get a day-old gas station sandwich or something? Right? He said, I have food that is sustaining me that you cannot see. Jesus wasn't saying that you should not eat natural food. He was trying to teach them natural things do not sustain you as much as spiritual things are sustaining you. Amen. Remember that? Here's the second thing you need to know. A strong spirit will sustain you in trouble. Notice it says it will sustain you in bodily pain or trouble. It's not just against illness. You know, when an illness attacks your body, the strong spirit of a man can sustain and nourish and help fight off that illness. Isn't that good news? But also, I believe that the strong spirit of man will fight off any depression and sadness. I believe it'll fight off any fear, right? It'll fight off the fear of uncertainty. Amen. It'll fight off financial trial. I believe that. Don't you believe that? Amen. Glory to God. The best protection against trouble is a full and strong spirit. The best protection against illness or trouble is a strong spirit. I just believe our spirit is capable enough to handle anything. Amen. Where is that verse? There's a verse playing on the inside of me. Can you bring up, you're in the Amplified. We're gonna go on a hunt for this verse because I hear it playing on the inside. Try Proverbs 4, or excuse me, not Proverbs, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 in the Amplified. Try Philippians 4:13 in the Amplified. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. Jesus is infusing what? Inner strength to our spirit. Jesus is the Word. He said, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. That term started to play on my spirit. I am ready for anything. I am up to and equal to anything in this world, he's saying, because I'm filled with his strength within me. When you fellowship with God, he infuses inner strength to your spirit. Are you getting a hold of this? So the second thing you need to know, a strong spirit is going to sustain you. Without your human spirit, your body has no life or vitality. Think about this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me give you the third thing. We're cruising right along. Are you getting anything out of this here today? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How many of you want to know what God has for you? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, five of you. Five of you want to know? That's why the rest of you don't know. God is not going to tell us anything until we want to know. I'm going to tell you, God will not tell you anything until you really want to know. If you are okay with not knowing, he won't tell you. God will be okay with not sharing it with you. Oh boy, sure get quiet here. God loves you. He's got good things. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Here's one of the most misquoted verses in all of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. When you study that word heart, you got to be careful. In the New Testament, the word heart in the Greek is the word mind. You've got to know that, especially when reading the King James Version of the Bible. You got to do a little studying. You got to look up that word heart because it sometimes means the mind of man. Here, the word in the original language is mind. neither has entered into the mind of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Folks, I've done dozens and dozens of funerals, and I've heard this scripture quoted several times at a funeral. And people will say, oh, see, eye is not written, or eye is not seen, you know, ear has not heard all the glorious things that God has for us in heaven. Folks, this verse is not talking about heaven. It's not talking about heaven at all. It's not talking about what God has prepared for us in heaven. It's talking about what he's got prepared for us on earth, right here, right now, in this lifetime, all right? And the Bible says that eye cannot see it, ear cannot hear it, mind cannot conceive what God has prepared for you in this life. How do you know it's about this life? Look at the next verse. Let's put it into context. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. What has he revealed? The things that eye can't see. Yes. The things that ear can't hear. The things that mind cannot conceive. Yes. God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Holy Spirit searches all things. You mean like searching the inward parts of the belly? Yeah, searching all things, yea, the deep things of God. How many of you want the deep things of God? Yeah. Deep things of God. Verse 11 tells you how to find them. Look at. For what man knows, the word man just means person or people. Do we have any people here today? All right, good. It's good to know that we're all people. Oh, let's not get on that subject. Some folks are getting confused these days. All of a sudden they think they're an animal. I'm here to tell you, you don't want to be demoted. God made you in his image, in his glory. What a demotion to think that you're an animal all of a sudden. Dear Lord. Anyway, for what man knows, what person knows the things of a person except the what? The spirit of that person that is within him. So he's talking about the things that God's prepared for you. God wants to reveal to you the things that he has for you and the things that he does not have for you. Here's the third thing that you've got to know about your spirit. Your spirit will show you what God has for you. Your spirit will show you what God has for you. God is not going to put them in your mind. God is not going to put them in your body. God is going to talk to you in your spirit or through the voice of your conscience. He is going to give you peace on things or no peace on things. He's going to tell you things. Of course, the word already tells us many things that are not for us, the obvious things. But what about those things in life that are not a sin, but we just don't know if we're to do them or not? You know, you might try to start a business, and God will reveal to you in your spirit, listen, that business idea is good, but God will say, but that's not my plan for you. Or maybe you'll try to take a job over here and God will say, no, I want you to start a business over here. Or, you know, if you're seeking a relationship and you're looking to get married, you know, God could speak to you and say, no, that's not the person I have for you. Or the Spirit of God will tell you in your spirit, say, no, this is the one I have for you. You know what I mean? There'll be things in life. It could be even hobbies. My goodness, the things that God has told me, yeah, you can do that, but don't do that. Many of you have heard my sailing testimony. There was a time when I went to Florida, I got trained to be a charter captain for boats up to 51 feet. I still have that license today. I actually was registered with the Coast Guard and all that stuff. I could have, you know, been a charter captain. I could have commercially, you know, captained boats and things like that. And I even had my own little sailboat, and I kept it on Lake Erie. And I went out there, and I braved the high seas and all this stuff. I sailed to the Bahamas and all this stuff I did. And there came a day when I got born again, and I started seeking God for my life. I remember during one winter, and that boat was on the trailer, and it was sitting there. And I had fixed it up and done a lot of work to it. So to me, naturally, it was very important to me. Actually, way too important. And I stood there one day, I looked at that boat and it was all covered up with snow and everything. It had a tarp over it. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I do not have this for you in your life. This is not for you. It is going to take too much time, too much distraction. It is not my plans for you, because I was going to sail across the Atlantic Ocean. I was going to do all this stuff. I loved that world of that nautical realm, and that was what I was into. And you know what? God said, that's not for you. That's not for you. That was a hobby. There was other hobbies that he gave me that I never thought I would ever get into. Things that he knows. He will know what blesses you and what refreshes you. Amen. Folks, we've got to be skillful in our spirit to know the things that God has prepared for us. What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man that is within him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. The spirit of God communicating to your spirit. Amen. What things are for you? What he's prepared for you. He'll show you the house he's prepared for you. He'll show you the job or the business. He'll show you the relationship or the investments. Folks, God will lead you. Boy, you're also excited about this today. My goodness, I tell you what, if I had a nickel for every yawn I saw today, I'd be a rich, rich man. You better. Folks, I'm not preaching this just for my health. I'm preaching it for yours. Oh boy, people up there. How many boards are up there on the ceiling? And then they'll call me with a crisis. They'll call me with a crisis. There's so many times people expect a pastor to have some, you know, crystal ball and tell them the future. Folks, if you let your spirit go weak, you're letting the devil get strong. Praise the Lord. Say, oh, pastor just gave us a smackdown in here today. Folks, I love you. And I just know that when you're disinterested, God. Because you know what disinterest is? It's pride. Disinterest is pride. The Bible says that he gives grace to the humble and he resists the proud. When we just say, I'm not interested in this. That's because we believe that we can handle everything on our own. And when we believe we can handle things on our own, God says, I resist the proud. The first thing over there in Proverbs chapter 6, it says, 6 things the Lord hates, 7 are an abomination. The first thing that God hates is a haughty look. A haughty look. Pastor, are you saying that some of us? Yeah, but notice I said some, not all. Some can, they look, when you look disinterested, that's haughty to God. Like, I don't need this, not interested, not gonna do anything with it. God is now handcuffed in your life. He can't do anything. Oh boy, I love you today. Man, you put these last 2 weeks together. Praise the Lord. For what man knows the things of a man? How will you know the things that God has prepared for you except by the spirit that is within you? Within you. The pastor can preach the word and teach you this concept. But I within myself, I have no answers for you. I within myself have no answers for you. You know, sister mega faithful, brother prayer warrior has no answers for you, because nobody will know the things that God has prepared for you except the spirit of, that, you know, your spirit within you. Folks, I've got to teach you to figure this out. I've got to teach you to be spirit conscious, because without it, you're going to go without the things that God has prepared. See, this is why we got to be spiritual people. We got to be thinking, you know, down here in our spirit. We got to be searching our spirit every single day. We got to be communing and fellowshipping with God on the inside so we can speak these things within our conscience. Are you here today? God will show you his plans in your spirit, not your mind, not your body. And here's the thing, God isn't going to give you a sign. How many Christians have said to me, Lord, if God wants me to do this, he'll give me a sign. But there's just one massive problem with that. Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. It is wrong in the New Testament to go to God and ask him to give you a sign. He's not given any. He said, the only sign that you will be given in this generation will be the sign of Jonah. That Jonah was, as Jonah was in the whale of that fish 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. God has already performed the sign of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything from here on out is discovered in our spirit through a fellowship with God. Amen. When Christians say, oh Lord, if you want me to take that job, in the next 5 minutes, a blue car will drive by. All you're proving is how much you don't know God. No, he said, Father, I seek your plan and your will. I'll receive it. I'll listen down in here. Say, well, people say, well, Pastor, I prayed like that day one and I didn't get an answer. You might not get an answer the first day. It might not be the second day. It might not be the third day. It might not be the second week. See, there is something called waiting upon the Lord. Praise God. All right, now let's finish this up right here. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go over to chapter 14 and let's wrap this up. Number one, your body without your spirit will die. Whatever's in your spirit is feeding your body. The second thing we saw is that a strong spirit will sustain you or nourish you in trouble. Thirdly, our spirit will show us the things that God has prepared for us. And fourth and finally here today, 1 Corinthians 14:2. And if I haven't made you mad up until now, I'm fixing to make you mad now. We need to understand this. Now, here we go. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Oh, no, not the T word. Not the T word. People say, what, tithe? Well, that too. You mentioned tithe and tongues in the same sentence. Boy, you're really going to give everybody a mind grenade. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue, Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Well, okay, so now the New Testament is teaching about this. The denominational churches that I grew up in said, oh, that tongues business, it's not of God, it's of the devil. And I, you know, for a while in my adolescence and into my young adulthood, I believed that. You know why? Because I just regurgitated whatever the denomination told me. And then I got saved and started studying the Bible, and I come across all these scriptures that talk about it in a very positive light. And I thought, wait a minute. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men. So this unknown tongue, it can't be a human language. Because English, Spanish, Chinese, German, all the languages of the world speak to men. Yeah. This is an unknown tongue, yeah. A language that only God knows. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men or to people, but unto God. See, I saw a verse like this and I thought, wait a minute, tongues can't be of the devil unless talking to God is of the devil. And I don't know about you, but I don't think we need any less conversation with God. I think we probably need more talking to God in our society. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit. Everyone say, in the spirit. In the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Not mysteries to God. Nothing's a mystery to him. Mysteries to us. Things you don't know. Does anyone in here know exactly how the rest of today is going to go? See, you didn't know I was just going to do that. Does anyone in here today, do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Do you know what's going to happen a year from now? So it sounds like we all have got some mysteries in our lives. Do you know everything the devil's got planned to try to hinder you? No. Do you know what people have got planned to hinder you? No. All right. Do you know everything that God wants to give you? No. Do you know everything that God wants you to do in this life? No. Sounds like we don't know very much. Yeah. Sounds like we've got a whole lot of mysteries in our lives. So see, God gave us, if Christians would learn it, receive it, and understand. This is talking about a devotional prayer language between you and God. And when you learn to get filled with his spirit, speak in other tongues, you will have a direct line of communication between your spirit and God the Father. Amen. And you will what? You will speak out things that you don't understand, things that you don't know, things that are yet to happen in the future. Let me show you this. Bring this up in the Amplified if you could. Just to help you get a little bit more understanding. No wonder why the devil is trying to take credit for this. No wonder why Christians are being deceived to think that speaking in tongues is of the devil. That is deception. The devil is trying to take away a sacred advantage to the church. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue, again, it's an unknown language. It's not known here on this earth. Speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truths, not lies, not lies of the devil, secret truths. Amen. And hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Again, mysteries. Go to verse 14. Let me show you this. We're going to wrap this up right here. So here's the fourth thing that your spirit can do. Your spirit can speak out the mysteries of God. Fourth, your spirit can speak out the mysteries of God. An advantage, a true advantage. Number one, your spirit keeps your body alive. Whatever's in your spirit. Secondly, a strong spirit will sustain you in a time of trouble. Third, your spirit will know what things God has prepared for you. Fourth, what we're talking about here today is that your spirit has the ability to pray out the perfect will or the mysteries of God. What a blessing. Look at this. Verse 14, Paul the apostle says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue," who was doing the praying here? Paul was. Notice Paul didn't say, "For when the Holy Spirit comes upon me and forces it out of me." There's a lot of Christians that say, "Oh, I would speak in tongues if the Lord wills it." Meaning they'll say, "Well, if the Holy Spirit comes on me and makes me do that, then I'll be fine with it." But there's this one thing. The Holy Spirit doesn't come on you to make you do anything. Paul says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue," and you're going to see this again in the next verse here in just a second. He says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays." Wow. Your spirit wants to pray right along with the Holy Ghost to pray out the mysteries of God. Do you think that that's an advantage? No wonder why churches attack it. The devil is working overtime to keep Christians from doing this. The reason why Christians don't do it is because of this right here. And look at the rest of the verse. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody." Do you know why many believers reject this truth? Right here. They can't understand it with their mind. You're not asked to understand it. You're asked to believe it. You don't receive it by understanding or explanation. You receive it by faith. You receive it by faith. Amen. Your mind will be unproductive. Your mind wants to be involved in everything. Your mind wants to know what's going on. When I pray in other tongues, my mind will be like, "What's going on? What are you saying? What's going on? What's the grocery list? What do you have to do the rest of the day? You know, what else could you be doing?" The mind hates to be excluded. But you don't pray out of your mind, you know, when you pray in an unknown tongue. You pray out of your mind when you pray in your known language. And we're going to see that here in just a second. But our spirit has the ability to pray the will of God. Look at verse 15. Because now this is a good question. Are you ready? Because many of you have the same question that Paul's going to ask right now. "Then what am I to do?" Maybe you're sitting there asking that same question. What am I to do then? What do I do with this? He says, "I will pray with my spirit by praying in unknown tongues, by the Holy Spirit that is within me. But I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding." That's when you pray in your known language. Notice you can do both. You should be good at both. He says, "I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me." Notice this. Your spirit not only wants to pray, it wants to sing. Notice you can sing in unknown tongues. You can pray in unknown tongues. He says, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and my understanding also. That's what we do in church, right? Don't we sing intelligently, meaning in our own known language? Amen. Folks, look at this verse and see how your life coincides with it. Are we just praying only naturally? Have you ever received that experience of praying in unknown tongues? And if you have, the next question is, do you actively practice it? Because it is a known biblical advantage to the New Testament. This is what Jesus said. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. It's not just biblical. It's part of the signs that follow a believer. That doesn't mean that you have to speak in tongues to be saved. Please know and understand that. You can be fully saved, born again, and not speak in tongues. But my question is, why would you want to go without it? Why would you want to go without it? No, we don't take it and do goofy things. We don't take tongues and run an excess with it and start, getting flamboyant with it like a lot of folks do. But just because there's some excesses here and there doesn't mean we throw the whole thing away. Folks, if you're here today and you've never received this experience, I highly encourage you, start studying it. Yeah. You know, I actually wrote a book that puts all of the New Testament scriptures together on the topic. I have them out there. You can have one. Don't even pay for it. I don't care. Steal 10 of them if you want. It's not about making any money at all. It's about one of the most overlooked truths of God's power burning in our spirit that is being overlooked today. So many Christians, they do not have that fellowship with God, and therefore they go weak in their spirit. Folks, did you get something out of this here today? In review, number one, your body cannot live without your spirit. Two, your spirit, when your spirit is strong, will sustain you in bodily illness or trouble. Three, your spirit will show you what God has prepared for you. And four, your spirit can commune with God, can pray out the perfect will of God. Amen. Folks, that's what your spirit is capable of. And a lot of Christians, they go without learning what it means to be a spiritual person. A spiritual person is not somebody who just has moral conduct in their body. A Christian is somebody who fellowships with the presence of God in their spirit, who walks with Him every day, who hears His voice, listens, and obeys His voice every day. Boy, it sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church here this morning. Did you get something out of this here today? Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we just love You. We praise You. Father, You are faithful and You are good. Lord, we just love You. Lord, we just thank You. For this Christianity is not just about being moral people. Father, we need to glorify You in our body and our spirit, which both belong to You. Father, we know You. We know and understand that whatever's in our spirit is going to filter to our body. Father, we know that the strong spirit of man will sustain us in infirmity or trouble. Father, we see and know and understand that it is the Holy Spirit who will communicate with our spirit the things that You've prepared for us. And Father, we have this wonderful opportunity and this privilege to pray in unknown tongues, to fellowship and to commune with You. Father, to pray out the perfect will of God, to pray out those mysteries and hidden truth. All the things that we go without, all the help that we go without because we don't participate. Oh, Father God, we just bless You. We glorify You. Lord, we love You and praise You today. Father, I just pray for this generation. Father, that we would come on up, that we would come on up higher and walk with You in our spirit and not just be moral believers only. Of course, it starts there. We should always be moral. But Father God, we want to know You. We want to fellowship with You. Father, we want to walk out the Great Commission. Lord, we're not here for a tradition. We're not here for religion. We're here for a relationship. We love you, Lord God. We praise you, Father God. I pray for this church congregation that, Lord, that the words that were spoken today would mean something to them. That, Father, that they would guard their spirit with all diligence, because out of it is all the issues of life. That they would value greatly the health of their spirit. Father, we praise you and worship you. Father, in the days ahead, I believe this church will have a breakthrough in this truth. Father, I believe that many in our midst will set aside time for you. They will become diligent and start to fellowship and feed their spirit and meditate on the Word of God. And Father, that their spiritual level will start to come up. And therefore, the spiritual level in this entire church will start to come up. Father, I believe it. We'll see it in the days ahead. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for it. Thank you, Lord God. You're just trying to get over it to us that you don't work independently from us. Your power, your fire doesn't work independently. It's not going to just fall on us because we're here. Father, you are so good. With all eyes closed, with all heads bowed, before we dismiss, everybody ask themselves this question in your heart. Have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Have I personally done what the Bible says in Romans 10:9? It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Have you personally entered into that relationship with Jesus Christ? If today was your last day on earth, do you know that you would be in heaven? Or would you be lost in a place called hell? Hell does exist, but the good news is so does heaven. And God has made a perfect way for us to know him, to have eternal life. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Tim, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I would go to heaven or not. Then all I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. By lifting your hand, you're simply saying, I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. When I see it, I'll have you put it right back down. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to make you stand up or do anything like that. Once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice that you've never made Jesus your Lord? And today's the day that you want to do that? Could you lift your hand now? I know we have a lot of believers here. I know that there's a good chance that every single person in this sanctuary is born again. Folks, God's got a plan for you. Dig into that plan. He's merciful. We've all gone through times when we let that fire kind of burn dim and we got to stir it up again. God's got a plan. Father God, we just love you and praise you today. You are faithful and good. Lord, we thank you for the bright days that are ahead. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you, Father God. Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet. Did you get some help here today? Yeah, well, I tell you what, we at least got an assignment here today. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and give the Lord all the praise and glory. We'll be dismissed. Father God, we praise you. We bless you, Father God. We thank you for your goodness. We praise you. And Lord, I just command your hand of blessing upon each one. You are so faithful. You are so merciful. You are so powerful. And we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.